Building on Foundations for Eternal Life. Chapter 29, Science, Proverbs 25:2, ESV. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. End of verse. Science is often spoken of as though it is unaffected by religion and philosophy. Science is often promoted as something that should not be questioned. In this section, we'll look at how science can be involved with deception. A new section titled Hard and Soft Science. When discussing science, I find it helpful to try to understand how reliable and certain the science is that is being discussed. Some areas of science have a long history of very solid evidence supporting them, including directly observable evidence, consistently repeatable experimental evidence, and widely accepted results. That's what I call hard science. One example of hard science, in my opinion at least, is Newtonian mechanics. Newtonian mechanics was originally developed by Isaac Newton, as described in his book Mathematical Principles of Natural Philosophy, originally published in 1687 in Latin. Newtonian mechanics mathematically describes how forces and objects interact. It may not apply to subatomic particles, the vastness of space, or speeds approaching that of light, but for most practical purposes on Earth, it provides a mathematically precise way of relating forces and motion. Our modern society would not be possible if Newtonian mechanics were not consistently valid. Airplanes would not fly, cars would not run, factories would not produce. On the other side is what is referred to as soft science. The evidence associated with soft science is generally not as directly observable, consistently repeatable, or as widely accepted as that of hard science. Typically, social sciences are often considered to be soft science, and natural sciences to be hard science. A common deception is for soft science to be promoted as though it is hard science, and therefore should not be questioned. People may be deceived into believing a falsehood by the claim that science has proven it. An example of soft science, which is often promoted as hard science, is the theory of macroevolution. I have not heard of any directly observable or repeatable experiments associated with macroevolution, only conjecture based on disputable fossil evidence. Yet macroevolution is often promoted as though it is hard science that should not be questioned. Whatever your views on this subject are, please don't be deceived into thinking it is hard science that shouldn't be questioned. It is not directly observable or repeatable. It is soft science at best. Science relating to the origin of the universe and the Earth is also often promoted as though it involves only hard science. But again, I have not heard of any directly observable or repeatable experiments associated with this kind of science. Whether someone is promoting a naturalistic view or creationism or arguing for intelligent design, these all involve soft science, not hard science. It should be noted that hard science and soft science are subjective terms without a clear dividing line between them. A lot of science falls into a gray area between these terms. Some aspects of a particular scientific subject may be closer to hard science, while other aspects of the same subject may be soft science. This is an area that is often difficult to discern. As you gain understanding and wisdom in this area, do not expect others to readily agree with you. A new section titled Naturalism. Is naturalism a religion? As I understand it, naturalism is a belief system that claims there are no supernatural forces at work in the universe. Naturalism holds that everything can be explained by natural scientific laws. Since God, by most definitions, involves supernatural power that influences the universe in supernatural ways, naturalism claims that God does not exist. Likewise, since the supernatural realm, by most definitions, is outside of what natural science can deal with, the existence of a supernatural realm is also denied. Please note that holding a naturalistic viewpoint involves a lot of faith. I have previously defined faith in the book Beneath Foundations for Eternal Life, chapter 18, about faith, in a broad and simple way. Faith, belief in something that has not been directly observed. There are a huge number of things in the universe that natural science is not yet able to explain with natural scientific laws, and there are many things scientists have not been able to duplicate, even with modern high-tech laboratories. It takes a lot of faith to believe that they are all explainable by natural scientific laws. Here are just a few examples of things science presently has no explanation for. Bullet point: how any living thing, even a single cell, can come into existence from inorganic matter without supernatural help. Bullet point: how the complex coding in DNA came into existence without supernatural help. Bullet point: how photosynthesis developed without supernatural help. End of bullet points. These things are exceptionally complex. To believe that all these things developed without supernatural help takes a lot of faith. For that reason, I consider naturalism to be a religion, not simply a viewpoint based strictly on science. Some people claim to know that there is no God, often claiming that science supports their claim. Don't be deceived. Such claims involve religious conviction and faith, not just science. A new section titled Microevolution and Macroevolution. A few more words are in order regarding the topic of evolution. For clarity on this subject, it is necessary to make a distinction between microevolution and macroevolution. Microevolution involves small changes within a species. Microevolution is observable in both plants and animals. Some examples of microevolution include, bullet point, plants developing resistance to herbicides, bullet point, insects developing resistance to insecticides, bullet point, the color pattern of an animal changing to become more similar to its environment, thereby helping it avoid predators, end of bullet points. As these examples show, some types of microevolution are readily observable and repeatable. In this sense, some aspects of microevolution can be said to be relatively hard science. On the other hand, macroevolution involves new species developing from other species. A key claim of macroevolution is that more advanced species have developed over time from less advanced species, simply based on natural selection, mutations, and lots of time. I am not aware of any examples of macroevolution happening today. Mutations are not observed to result in more advanced animals, but rather less advanced animals. Natural selection and mutations observable today only appear to support microevolution, not macroevolution. Many people claim that fossils prove macroevolution. However, I have never seen any fossil evidence that clearly supports such a claim. Have you? The study of macroevolution is not based on directly observable or repeatable experimental evidence. Macroevolution is therefore, in my opinion, soft science, not hard science. This is important since many people claim that the science of macroevolution proves the Bible to be false, since they claim macroevolution shows the creation account in the book of Genesis to be false. Many people readily believe these assertions, largely based on the claim that science says so. Soft science generally does not prove anything. Beware of claims based on soft science. In summary, the existence of microevolution does not prove the existence of macroevolution. Macroevolution is not hard science. Be cautious with claims to the contrary. A new section titled Creation or Evolution. The first book of the Bible, Genesis, begins with these words. Genesis 1, 1-5, W.E.B. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was on the surface of the deep, and God's Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. God said, Let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light and saw that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day. End of verses. Chapter 1 continues with 5 more days of creation, and then there is a day of rest spoken of in chapter 2. It is likely no surprise to you that believers hold widely differing viewpoints regarding how literally this chapter should be understood. It is not appropriate to try to resolve those differences in just a few paragraphs. However, I will make a few comments that I hope will be helpful to some. 2 major areas of debate appear to be these. First, are the earth and universe very young or very old? Some claim Genesis shows they are both only several thousand years old. Second, the account in Genesis appears to be contrary to macroevolution. How should this be resolved? Much of the debate on the first point seems to hinge on a belief that a literal interpretation of Genesis chapter 1 requires a young earth and young universe conclusion. I don't see it that way. There's no indication of the amount of time that may have occurred between verse 1 and verse 2. Or some may reason that verse 1 may refer to just the earth and the heavens around the earth, not the entire universe as we understand it today. One can hold to a literal understanding of Genesis 1 without holding to a young Earth or a young universe position. It seems to me that allowing for a lot of time between verses 1 and 2 may resolve most difficulties in this area for many people. Note that this is a disputable matter, in my opinion. Please don't condemn me if you believe differently. Regarding macroevolution, Genesis 1 is clearly not written from a macroevolution perspective, but rather emphasizes creation by God. I personally am not aware of any hard science, or any science that is not very soft, that contradicts a literal view of this creation account. Our beliefs about creation and evolution affect a lot of other beliefs. I can understand why some believers may hold that beliefs in this area are primary and are worth dividing over. However, I believe these are secondary issues that believers should avoid being divisive about. Please consider prayerfully whether this issue is really worth dividing over before being divisive about this subject yourself. Where you land on the issue of causing division may involve deception that is greater than not having right beliefs about creation. The importance of avoiding division over secondary issues will be discussed in the next chapter. Salvation is about trusting and following Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, Lord of all. It's not about having right beliefs about creation and evolution. However, it does appear to me that accepting macroevolution as hard science does hinder many people from coming to Jesus and being saved. A new section titled, Science, Philosophy, or Religion. Unfortunately, the divisions between science, religion, and philosophy are often not clear. Scientists are inevitably influenced by their own religious viewpoints and philosophical viewpoints, often without realizing it. Beliefs that are based partly on philosophy or religion are often put forward as science. Scripture provides us some warnings. Colossians 2:8 ESV. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. 1 Timothy 6:20-21 ESV. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. For further reflection, have you ever been deceived into believing something to be true which is actually false by a claim that science proves it?